Hi there. So I just had a conversation with Mylis Shepherd. It was our second conversation because our first conversation was not recording. We met last week and got to know one another and then redid it all again this time. But anyway, it's a great conversation. And he is Ashley Shepherd, one of the trainer's husbands. He's also a pastor. And we talk about how he got in the door, often the only man in the room full of women, and how that inspires him. Anyway, it's a really nice conversation, and Mylis is great, and I learned a lot about him and from him. So take a listen. Hi.
I heard recording in progress, so I have to get this done.
So you feel better?
Yeah, we're good now. We can start.
Oh my God. But then I was so relieved it was you that I did it to because you're you and I knew that you would care,
Sure.
you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But I
Well, no
kept
big
thinking,
deal.
yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, now I've gotten to listen to several of the episodes that you've released, and I actually sent me hers to listen to as well. So now I'm like, oh, well, I'm glad people don't have to sit through my last pontificating about being a pastor and all these things.
Okay,
So.
so this is so interesting that you say that. I was going to ask you, like, what are you when you hung up, I was going to say, but when you ended the call, what did you, what, yeah, what were you relieved about having not been recorded? And let's
Oh,
start there.
interesting. That's funny. That's a great question. I don't know. I think I was made like I did feel like man, I talked about being a pastor a lot, and I don't know if that's what this is about. And like got into some deep stuff about pastoring, and so that was that was just it. When you did say that, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe there's other stuff we should be talking about.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So my very first time at Burn. So my wife Ashley is a trainer. So she's been going since before they. But like when they were doing it in a parking lot, I think. But I didn't go for the first time until like, I mean, it might have been like a year ago at this point.
And
But
it
I
was on
actually,
like a family day or an
yeah, I had the
day.
guts to go on a Saturday, when it was open. And I don't think I went with anybody. Like, I don't think I tried, probably tried to drag some friends there with me, but I think I went with Ashley, and like it absolutely just it just kicked my butt. And I was like, I can never do this. Like, it's incredible what you guys do. And I mean, Saturdays I do think tend to be a little harder. I'm trying to convince myself to go tomorrow, but not there yet. I'm really sore this week. I don't know. It's like, I mean, maybe it's just like every Friday, but really sore. Anyway, so yeah, I was like, I really like hardly survived. And I knew Alyssa was training that day, and she and I know each other obviously just from her and Ashley being close. And so it was just fun. Like, I mean, she totally, I think followed me around and just tortured me.
That's the worst.
Yeah, but it was fun. Like, I understood, like, oh, I understand why you like this, Ashley, but I hate it. Like, it's not for me. Yeah, so that was the first time that I think I ever went super hard.
Did you, what was the hardest thing for you that day physically, exercise-wise? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like Metcon, which continues to be probably one of the harder protocols for me. But I think it just was like it's just like it never stopped, Like you were like it felt like we were going 100%, 100% of the time. And like, I mean, a 15-second breather is like, what's the point? Like I can't like
Totally.
I need to like lay down for a minute. I can't do that, And the time thing, like it just was. It was funny, like 45 seconds of work doesn't sound like that long, but man, when you're like slamming a med ball and Alyssa's, yelling in your ear, you're like, it's a long time.
I tell you, this is the whole thing. This is why my whole podcast was based upon the question, how do you get in the door? Because even this morning, as I was dressing, I have to just get dressed. And then I could tell myself, just get in the car. And I get in the car and then I get in the parking lot. And then I'm like, well, now you have to go in. But it still is that. And like, I don't even let myself look at social media to know what we're
Yeah,
doing.
I try to avoid it too.
it's, and I think that's a particular, it's almost like a horoscope of like who you are, because I think there are some people that like got to know so that they can plan. And then there are the rest of us that just show up because of that ease that happens by not knowing what it's going to be.
That 45 minutes felt very long to me the first time, you know.
Really? Oh, interesting.
It does kind of go by fast, but I mean, it was surprising to me how long 45 seconds felt, you know, for each station or however long it was that day.
Agility is the one that I tend to like because it goes for me by faster, even though it's really hard often. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find that the figuring out like the weights and all that stuff I want because I want that strength, but it puts me through like a mental.
So do you prefer cardio days over strength days?
Sometimes. I mean, I started on a cardio day that I think when I still look at the picture, it looks like I'm having a heart attack.
Sure. Yeah.
And then there are people that go and they can't get past the undertow. That is the first week.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think the first week is hard. And do you crave it when you're not when you had to take time off? Were you like, or even if it's like a week, do you crave it while you're gone?
You know what I've told myself now is that I was actually having talked to Marcy. For her, it's a mental health thing, literally. Mm-hmm. Like she goes every day, and I admire her for that.
I think that's great. That's cool.
I also liked, and it was interesting that you didn't want to talk about the pastor business a little bit.
I don't mind talking about it. I just don't know people want to listen to it. That's the reality.
My instinct is on any of these conversations is that people just want to get to know the person. Mm-hmm. And what I sort of related to, although not directly, but when you were, because Ashley brought it up too, like you feel like you're worshiping, you know, which I think is, I'm just curious, when you say worship, what is that? What is the phrase?
Yeah, that's good. It's interesting. I mean, and certainly like I'm not sure what people envision when they envision like worship. Like I'm clearly not like raising my hands, like singing.
They could be thinking that. So,
it's but like, I mean, there are times where, you know, I can remember specifically like one day, like I love box jumps. It's my favorite thing that we do. And like, just like, man, thank you God that I have a body that can do this and legs that work and a heart that's pumping and, you know, in a gym that I can come to, like, just there's a lot that I'm just kind of regularly aware of God's gifts to me in this space. And so there's a like, and I think even just like, I see the beauty of humanity at birth, right? Like, there's one kind of theologian who said, like, if we really understood like other humans as they were, you know, as they're created to be, we would be tempted to worship them, right? Like that, just like how they are meant to teach us about God. And I feel that at Burn, like there is like a, like, I mean, A, like what people are accomplishing physically is amazing to me and just leads me to just, I love, you know, celebrating other people's accomplishments and seeing what they're doing. And just, I mean, I know even just listening to a couple of the stories that you've posted already, just like the beauty, I think particularly, I said this last time too, but like, of being a part of a primarily female gym, like, is a super, like, for me, humbling experience, you know, and to watch women who, your bodies have been through much more than my body has, you know, and I think culturally, like, it hasn't been encouraged for women to, you know, be strong and fit. And so just to, like, see, you know, be in a space that I feel like is kind of empowering to people who haven't been empowered in this way before, I think it teaches me a lot about humanity and God as a result of that, right? About how he created us and how, you know, he's called us to be in community and I think how he loves us and empowers us and calls us to be. So that's kind of maybe it's not necessarily me singing worship songs, but it's more just me being drawn into the glory of life, you know, and that God gives us these gifts and those kinds of things.
I always think when you're celebratory, there's always like, you know, everybody uses music or they use alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's one of the, like when I watch the trainers like getting into the music or you know, I think that it is one of those things where I'm like sort of envious of the freedom. Like I still feel a little bit like I'm in fight or flight.
I'm pretty miserable right now. Yeah, right. True.
Yeah. Right. Like, and not, but I know that the goal, but there, but that's why when those moments peak of like for you, you enjoy box jumps. I was terrified of them. Yeah. And I kept picturing like hitting the wall or not falling backwards, but like I couldn't, you know, there are some things.
Just kind of gap there.
Yeah. And Katinka sensed it and she came up and she was like, okay, I see what you're telling yourself, but now do it this way. And she showed me. And the first box jump I did, I cried. Like, I didn't want her to see. And then she's like, oh, you have to go ring that bell. I was like, oh God, please don't make me ring the bell. And then I had to like run across the gym and ring the bell. And it was such a wonderful, like, you know, being private and public. It was this moment of, and I still, again, am so grateful for the cloak that is anonymity there, where like nobody, this is not my family. No one's going to falsely accolade me or give me like weird, but they are going to understand that action and what it meant to me.
Yes.
Totally. I rang the bell because it meant something to me.
Yeah.
Not because I wanted applause.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I think, like, I mean, first, I just want to shout out our trainers, you know, of which my wife is one. But, like, I mean, the way that they, you know, the Katinka was aware enough of that in that moment that that was a big thing for you and that you need a little bit of help, but you could do it even when you maybe didn't think that you could. Like, I mean, again, like, our trainers teach me about God on a regular basis. Yeah. You know, the way that I believe he comes alongside us, empowers us, calls us into greater things, you know. And I mean, really, like, I feel that regularly at Burden, especially when I first started and just like was never going to pick up like the heaviest weight that was out, right? Like, I would like look at that and I go like three or four down and being regularly challenged to do hard things. Like, that's one, you know, one way that I learned about God at Burden, and our trainers, I think, are amazing at their jobs. But then, too, like the community, like you said, of like ringing the bell and people celebrating that you did a box jump, right? Like, there's other gyms, I don't, not that I've been to a bunch of them, but where I like, that's kind of an assumed skill, right? Like, you're supposed to be able to do X, Y, and Z, all these things that everybody else is able to do. But for our gym, I feel like there's an awareness of just the diversity that's there, and that, like, what, you know, what might be an easy thing for this person is like totally worth celebrating. And that person who it's easy for is going to celebrate that, right? Because they recognize that we're all doing things that are hard, you know, hard for us. And there's not a one size fits all at this gym. And that's the type of community that I want to be a part of, right? That it's, you know, there's, I don't know.
Ooh, I love the one size. It's not a one size fits all, you know, like, I love that. Because today, Jackie, the one of the people that I aspired to be that led me into Burn, she actually walked me in, but she was in a boot today and she was by me and she's like, oh, we can be partners. I was like, well, I'm happy to be your partner when you have a boot on.
Like, right, when you're injured. I can join in then. Yeah.
I was like, this I can get behind because you're held back a bit because she's so intense and goes at such a speed that isn't it's, you know, it's her own thing. It's her own.
Yeah.
But I was happy that she was slightly disabled so that I could feel like I could keep up.
I know you're supposed to be asking me questions, but I'm curious because I've heard some of your story in the other podcasts. Like, what's the mental game for you? Like, do you feel like once you're in the door, like you've kind of got it figured out? Because I feel like for me, I'm still struggling with the pushing through the 45 seconds and not cheating, you know? I don't know.
Like, I don't, it's funny. Like, I wish I cheated. I feel like this happens to me in life, like in every instance.
Okay.
I'm like too in it to know exactly how to cheat. But I do know that my mental game is I get there and because again, I'm my only witness aside from the trainer. I really do want to push myself. And I find that, you know, when I first came back after that, a limited schedule of it, it was new because I knew I could do it. I'd done it before. And I let myself like take the lighter weights until my sort of body was used to the toxins that were going to be flowing and all that stuff. Uh-huh. And now I'm like, when I picked up the 12, I was like, you probably have to get the 15. And okay, yeah. And I'll try that. But if it's, you know, what I realized for me is I am in it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
I want to grow at a consistent pace.
Yeah.
I am not proving anything to anybody.
Yeah.
So that's my mindset. It's like, as long as I get in the door, the hard thing is done by not self-sabotaging my entrance into that room.
Yeah.
Because I really think I think people think self-sabotaging is talking yourself out, but it reveals itself much in other ways too. Mm-hmm. Like your son's not feeling well, you're like, I don't have to go. Or somebody has, you know, your husband has to work early. So no, you don't, but you could.
Right. Like, yeah. Right.
So for me, it's now commit to the days. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm going to add for the, which I still have on my phone, but never ever use, is the app.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Alyssa finally, after a year, was like, okay, so you need, because I would never log in.
Okay, yeah.
I would never, uh-huh. I just wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, that's a good accountability thing.
She's like, and I go, but why? Why does it matter? Like, even if I show up, I can sign in when I walk up to the room. And she's like, it's, if you tell yourself that you're going to be there, or you let us know, and then you don't show up, somebody will reach out to you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, really?
She's like, right, yeah.
She's like, if you're false starting, if you're, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. you'll get support. I think that's important. But I know that my body just has to get in the door, and okay. Whatever I'm telling myself is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just gotta get in the door. That's good. Yeah.
You know, I just know. And I think for other people, it might be different. Like some, you know, I can't figure out why it's like dating. Kind of, or falling in love. I don't know how things work out sometimes the way they work out. And I don't know how the kismet of it all, but I know that this is the right space and time for me.
Sure.
And I just keep wanting to describe it to other people because I see, it's like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Like I see my physical well-being being better.
Yeah. Is it on the door above when you go in that just keep showing up? Isn't that
one of our,
like, that? Yeah. That definitely got me through the first few months. I'm just like, okay, if I can just get myself under the fluorescent lights, then they're going to get me through the workout. You know, I just got to, cause yeah, I mean, especially going in the mornings, like there's so many reasons to stay in bed, you know, like that extra hour.
And I think, Alyssa has like a really subtle hand in the way that she has, when I listen to the stories now, like from Ashley and from Katinka, I honestly think it's just who she is. I think she's, and so you attract, you know, what you attract, and she has attracted a bunch of very enthusiastic, humble, kind people.
Totally.
And I was assuming that there was going to be show ponying. Is that a word?
Right. Uh-huh.
Or, you know, I assumed that I was going to have an excuse that was going to be somebody's vanity that would keep me out.
And I think like one other thing that like came out in your other conversation so far is like how important it has been to some women for it to be an all women's gym, which is just an interesting, like, it's so again, like I've regularly felt humbled to be invited into this space, you know, like not only by my wife, but by everybody else that I've worked out with. But I would hope that, I mean, it would be beautiful, I think, if there are more men that come, which I'd love. So again, your husband should join, but
that
the culture continues to stay the same. Like, as I think that I understand there being a concern of like the culture shifting if men, so if you know, if somehow there became an even distribution of men and women, but I would hope that, I think the culture is so set that any man that walks into that room who's maybe thinking, I've got this figured out, I'm like, whatever.
Women think the same thing. We're not that, part of us that is coming into that space is, I think, whether we believe it or not, it's self-care.
Mm-hmm.
It is still a gym that is built on self-care.
Yeah.
It is not. And I think maybe there, and it's so, and again, there are no mirrors, which I learned from this podcast.
Sometimes it'd be helpful because the trainers keep telling me that I'm doing things wrong. And I'm like, I don't know what my body's doing. Can you show me what it's doing? So
you know what I do is when they're doing the the 7 minute demo, cycle, uh-huh, when they're doing that, showing us, and is in the very beginning, I would literally imitate your wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
As they were doing it. So I had the muscle memory when I got to that station.
Yeah. What movements are hard? Which ones are hard for you? What exercises?
I mean, I think I have to physically do them to know, to understand, like, you know, when you're doing the break dancer, I was like, my body's not going to understand that math. That's a crazy one.
Yeah.
Like, but then once you do it, I was like, oh, wait, I can.
Yeah, the rhythm happens, yeah.
And I'm constantly having to be refreshed about where my elbows go when I'm lifting weights in this particular exercise. Like, today we are doing the locomotive. Today I felt like I understood, and still the biggest challenge for me is the stupid push-up, which I'm like, and it's exciting. I have to say, I both hate it and I'm sort of in love with the fact that I will be able to see myself get better at it, but I'm not good at it. I can do amazing things and be super proud of myself, but whatever this strength is that requires is either I learned it so horribly wrong for so many years that I'm like sticking my face between my hands as opposed to, you know, the elbows. But part of me just looks around in awe at all the women who can, and men that are there that can do it right.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, God, so I know that I see the forest through the trees, but I just have not. I told myself today, I was going to ask Alyssa, like, what is the step before the push-up that I can practice? It has nothing to do with my knees. It has to do with my positioning that I can do. Mm. Like, is there like, putting your feet up, was that easy? Like, what is an easy version of building that upper body, that specific muscle? Yeah. So that's like where I get stuck.
But the funny one that I can't do, I mean, hinge movements have always been hard for me. I'm just figuring out RDLs. But the funny one that Ashley like makes fun of me all the time for is Heisman's. I don't know why. I can't figure it out. Like during the black light camp, you know, Tara is so kind, and we were doing Billy and Heisman's, and I knew that I'm looking around at everybody else, I'm like, I don't know why my body doesn't do what these people do. Then and Tara came over and tried to like fix it. She's like, no, it's this knee, and I think that's what I'm doing. And she kept trying to fix it, and then finally she was like, no, you're good, Rev, have fun. You know, like, just keep doing what you're doing. You're moving.
I want so bad to see a video of that, because Heisman's are, thank God I can do them, but it feels like a little bit like when I take a hip hop dance class, having been born in like musical theater dance, there is something just slightly off about
natural.
It.
Yeah.
Well, the weight distribution is like in hip hop, in sort of like that type of like street dancing is more forward.
Interesting.
And my whole mine is like more up straight.
Interesting.
So I look like an idiot. And sort of like Heisman's has, you know, they have a very dance-like quality.
That's true. And I'm not a good dancer, so maybe that's what it is.
Well, good is not why we dance.
Exactly. That's true. Yes, I enjoy it. I have fun dancing at weddings, but I'm just not good at it.
Yeah. It's hard to be witnessed, which is why when you're in the middle of like a huge gym class doing Heisman's and you're incapable.
Totally. Yeah. I'm just like, just don't put me on Instagram. I don't really care. I like an idiot live here.
I don't think I've ever, I have this picture that I posted yesterday that is like one of my favorite, because I'm like, when I was also scared of coming in the door, I was scared of the ropes.
Oh yeah. I actually still hate the ropes. Yeah.
They seemed really big and like hard to use. And I was intimidated. And then one day I get on video doing them. And I so badly wanted to show my kids, like, look, I did the thing that I was, one of the things I was scared of.
Yeah.
But I look like an 80s mom. I'm wearing like high waisted, like, I look like MC Hammer too. Like,
that's awesome. Balloon
pants. I'm wearing this little delicate light pink tank top, all cotton. When I look at the, I was like, oh God. And then I was like, this was the day where I was like dressing for like leisure wear. And I walk in there and I was like swimming in my own sweat.
Oh goodness, that's gross. Yeah.
It was so gross. And it was cotton. So like, it was like, oh, I was like, it was like, I made an immediate run to TJ Maxx to get clothes that were tight and synthetic.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, I do want to give a shout out to your church.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, I just want to say where it's at and, so just give everybody the name.
Yeah. So we meet, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at Park City Music Hall. So we rent space from them, kind of the family that owns and runs Park City and Harborview, are part of our church. So, yeah, it was great when they moved into that space. We had previously been worshiping in, up in the north end of Bridgeport, and yeah, had the opportunity to move down there. And
it's 10 a.m. right on Sundays.
Yep, 10 a.m. on Sundays. Usually done by around 11:30. Kids are welcome. There's tons of them, and yeah, it's kind of raucous. You know, I mean, it's in terms of like kids everywhere all the time, and I mean they have their own space kind of during the preaching time, but. It's, you know, we love being there. Our church really believes that, you know, those spaces, like there's not as much of a distinction between the sacred and the secular as we often think. And I think there's, you know, beauty in having cathedrals and, you know, sanctuaries and these types of things. But there's another kind of beauty of meeting in a bar, you know. And I mean, Park City is a beautiful place, too. It's not a dingy, you know.
Yeah.
And not, again, God's been in those dive bars, too. But
yeah.
Yeah, for us, it's something to highlight, you know, the beauty that's there already, and yeah, we love it. I love going to Park City, you know, on Saturday night too, and Sunday morning. Yeah. There's been nights that I've been there.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Until
real late, and then been back just a few hours later to lead church.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I love my entire family knowing that it's a priority for me. Sure. I think it's teaching my children, that. No matter how old you are, you know, you are in control of your body and you're lucky to have it. And you have to keep doing hard things or pushing yourself. And you can change your behavior.
Yeah.
Any point.
Yeah.
I also liked in our last conversation, and I don't know how this totally connects, but I just think it talks about you as a person. I like that when you were like the sort of like the butterfly coming out of the cocoon where you were trying to be like somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to fit yourself into the, you know, into the remnants of the previous pastor, or trying to make what he was doing work for you. And then you were like, oh, wait, I could just be me. And you said, parishioner.
That's good. I mean, you really like that. It's funny, but that was one thing that I left our conversation being like, wow. I don't think I connected those dots with Byrne before, but I think I shared that I'd been, so I stepped into this role as the lead pastor of this church almost exactly 2 years ago. And, had this whole like not identity crisis, but really was thought that like being a pastor meant being like the previous guy. And so it was really trying to fit that mold, and it just didn't fit who I am. And I had a woman in my church say to me that summer that I took this position, she was like, Milas, like, you are not called to be that person. Like, God's called you, like Milas, to lead this church and be the pastor here. And we want you to pastor us the way that you think you need to pastor. So like, that was totally freeing to be affirmed like that. And then kind of taking some steps towards that. And then like, so to connect that to Byrne, like, I think like there was like, 2 years ago, I never would have stepped foot in Byrne. I didn't. And I think it was because I thought that like a guy doing fitness looked a particular way, you know? And then it was like, oh, like, that's not how I do. I don't do fitness the way that I see the guys on Instagram, which I get like ads constantly now, you know, these like very buff people trying to recruit, you know, people to their gym. And I was like, I don't have to fit that mold, right? Like I'll be the guy at the primarily female gym. I'm cool with that. Whatever, you know.
But see, this is the thing where it's like when I was saying, I always talk about, but doing softball or doing whatever it is that is against my perception of myself, or kind of rising to the self that others see that I don't feel capable.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's the first job that happens is parenting.
Yep.
Like, you don't know what you're doing. Yep. Nobody really tells you what's happening. Right. It's just you have the knowledge that others have survived it, so you think you will too.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But I think that I love the idea of like the reinventing of the role is you, your acceptance of yourself. Mm-hmm. And what I think what I crave, now that I'm older, I know this, and I wish I could tell my teenagers this, you know, my preteen this, mm-hmm. is that who I am is enough.
Mm.
It's just mm. enough.
Yeah.
And when I come into Burn, I haven't felt the way I felt at other gyms, that there was something else besides myself I was aspiring to be,
mm.
because there were those visuals or those motivators or that person in the mirror or that yeah. person meeting. Whereas when I walk in this door and there isn't a mirror, and it really is a conversation, a physical conversation with myself, where I'm getting better or having a hard day. Okay, if I do it enough, then I'm not grading myself about yeah, whether Monday was great, Tuesday was bad. I really sure. got, like, I don't even think
you
about
it. You did it. Yeah, right. You did it, and you did whatever you did. And I guess that's it. Like, there is like a, I do want to consistently grow in like my being a better version of myself, but it's of myself, right? Like, I don't want to, growing as myself doesn't mean being somebody else, right? Yes. Like, there might be certain qualities about somebody that I can
do you think
and aspire to, but
not yeah. to go deep too right.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I want my kids to know that.
Right. Totally. Cause I didn't, and I don't like, that's again, like this is something I'm still in the process of discovering, and now I'm in my mid thirties, but like, as a kid, like, yes, it always felt like everybody else has this thing figured out. And did I, like, miss that class? Because it seems like everybody else knows what they're doing. And I, like, in college and in seminary even, like, began to realize, like, oh, everybody else doesn't actually have it figured out. Some of them are just faking it better than others. And I just feel like I've never really been great at faking it, you know, yeah. at least to myself. I've always been very aware of, like, I don't feel like I have the same qualities that all these other people have. And now just realizing, like, oh, that's because they're all different people. You know, like, we're all different and have different life experiences. And, you know, this person's naturally good at math and I'm not. You know, yeah. like, this person's naturally built to do X, Y, and Z and I'm not. This person's, you know, going to pastor this way and I'm not. Like, that's fine. That was right, you know, for the way that God wired them. But I'm not yeah. wired that same way. And so I need to lead and live in a way that is right for how I'm designed to live.
I feel lucky that I think in my 20s or even post my children, I was like looking to get back. It felt like I was trying to get back to something, back to a childhood body or back to
yeah.
like
yeah.
Huh. Probably a place of comfort where, you know, in who I was and what I was doing. But that was never going to happen. I've already had children.
Sure,
but some right. of children, I got older. I think now I just want to have tools that can help me become or just be happy with who I am.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
And
right.
two, then have something to work towards. Like yeah. I am actually appreciative of the fact I don't know how to do a push-up and I will learn that. That's going to be the mm-hmm. objective for this round. Yeah. Like I, you know, in softball, I would like to hit the ball a little bit harder, like trust mm-hmm. myself to hit it sure. harder. Like yeah. I always make contact, but now I want to really learn how to hit it harder.
Yeah.
And I think I give myself these little goals. And maybe when I was younger, our goals were really big. Like, I'm going to be an actress and yeah, I'm going to
right.
be, you know, they were, and yeah. I don't, they seemed impractical because of the size. But now yeah. as I'm aging, my goals are, I get them. They're like little to-do
yeah.
lists.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's something like just, I don't know, it's just popping into my head, but like something amazing again. Like, just to shout out, like, all men should join a women's gym. Like, just because yeah. it is, like, I mean, it's amazing to see what some women are accomplishing, you know, in their 40s and 50s. Yeah. And I now, having heard some of the stories about what some of these women, you know, were
yeah. pretty
kids, you know, or like in college and stuff. And, but there's, to me, I'm like, that's cool that you can do all that stuff in college. It's more amazing to me that you're figuring this out with three kids that you're trying yeah. to run around, having birthed those three children.
Yeah.
Like, and you're making it happen at 50. Like, oh, I want to be, you know, that is an aspiration for me. Of
no,
like,
I definitely think it could easily, it would be a good thing for our civilization if it became a co-ed gym, because it's more common ground than you realize. Like yeah. everybody working towards, you sure. know, their own physical health
yeah.
In a non-competitive environment
mm-hmm.
would change
mm-hmm. yeah.
our community.
Yeah. And I'd be curious, like, I really would be curious to have that conversation on a broader scale of just I think that there is a humility required coming in as a male for some reason.
Well, right now it is but I have to say, I think there's a humility required kind of everyone because our minds tell us, like your mind is telling you they're all women. I'm telling you myself, oh, they're all capable and I'm not. Interesting. So we all, that other, you know, that little other shadow of a voice is stopping before you start. Kind of in a precautionary way. Unlike my son, though, who came in and took great pride in nailing everything he could possibly nail in the gym. And, you know, that's the genius of youth. There's sort of, you don't have the life experience to tell you to stop yet.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
But I do think it's actually less about men and women and more about because people are older when they're coming in there. It isn't like,
That's interesting. Yeah.
You know, that I think we all have this kind of a similar shadow and they're all different because we're all different, but I just think it'd be, I just like the, you know, I think there's nothing that is happening in there that wouldn't be equally satisfying / hard for both genders. And it has to do, I think, you know, COVID may have made it us more capable of all being there because people are working more from home. Yeah. And it used to be that, you know, there were maybe more stay at home moms and now everybody is sort of living equal lives, which I love. But everybody can get in that door if they want. They don't have the excuse. And you are brave. I think you're brave to be when you're ever the minority in a situation. That can be a challenge.
Sure.
So it's impressive that it's also you found a way of like flipping it to inspire you as opposed to.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, honestly, as a middle class white male, there's not a lot of places where I am the minority. To be honest,
is true.
And so it is like it honestly has been a very like beautiful experience to have. Like I've almost never had a minority experience, right? Like very few times, and a couple like a job too that I had maybe, but like not like this, you know. And so like, there really is like a unique experience there for me too. That's a good learning experience. But
well, Milas, I really appreciate you doing this twice.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's great. It was fun to have the first conversation and get to know each other, and then. Yeah, get into this one too.
I feel less like I was in like a spotlight. I did. I got like, oh my God, like this is Ashley's husband. Like all, you know, there was a lot of like, you know.
I hope that me being a pastor doesn't affect other people in that way that we have to. Yeah.
You do only because of like, anytime I tell people, I think we all have a weird ism. That's a whole separate podcast about what we do.
Yeah.
You know, and how how somebody else interprets it. There's a big gap there.
Yeah, that's
big
true.
Moat that we all have to cross.
Totally. And I'd love to overcome that. I do. Sometimes I love that people don't realize I'm a pastor until, you know, they've known me already. And then it's like, wow, okay, now I have to fit you as I know you into this, you know, category.
I also think you just have to allow yourself grace in the fact that people are impressed that with your commitment, you know, to community and sharing and creating a belief system. And, you know, I think everybody deserves admiration probably, but I think that just, you know, like that you're humble about it.
We are. I didn't share as much of our story. I think Ashley maybe did on hers, but just, we were from the South and we moved up here and thought it was going to be a short-term thing. And we're just in love with New England and Fairfield, Bridgeport, and Burn, and it's all a gift. So we're glad to be a part of these communities.
Well,
so
we're all. I am very personally glad that both of you are here.
Well, good. Yeah. Thanks. So.
All right. Well, have a good day.
Thanks so much for doing this, and thanks for inviting me into it. I appreciate it.
Always. It was a pleasure. Okay. Bye. So the music that Milas likes to work out to is Notorious B.I.G. I would also like to wish him a happy Father's Day. That just passed on Sunday. And I want to thank you all for listening to Feel the Burn. All right, now go work out.